Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. My guest is Dane Wigington. He also has an Instagram channel and a YouTube channel, and we're going to listen to just a minute and a half of his coverage and analysis of the formation of Hurricane Helene. In our interview, we're going to talk more generally about what he refers to the intentional toxic intervention in our skies and in our climate. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about Helene. And my heart goes out to all of those who have been affected by this massive devastation. Before I show you that interview, I just want to do a quick recap. And this says that Helene became a Category 1 hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico, more than 500 miles and 30 hours away from where it would eventually make landfall in Florida. Western North Carolina was already seeing rain. This actually comes from CBS News. I just wanted a quick summary. And the article goes on to say that the climate office says that Helene's outskirts were feeding tropical moisture to slow moving storms that had formed along a stalled cold front. By midnight on Thursday, roughly an hour after the hurricane's landfall, 10 miles north of Steinhatchee, Florida, Asheville Airport in North Carolina had already seen more than 4 inches of rain. That downpour continued before Helene's outer bands even moved in. By Thursday night, Yancey County, which sits just south of Irwin, Tennessee, where floodwaters became so bad that people were trapped on the roof of a hospital, had seen more than 9 inches of rain. So I'm not going to share a lot of images here for you, friends. You probably have seen that yourself. But what I am going to do is share with you this minute and a half video of the Hurricane Helene and the frequency transmission.
Was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just the result of natural processes and climate patterns, or was it manipulated? The circular blue flashes seen in this video are frequency transmissions from the NEXRAD network of transmitter installations. All available science evidence makes clear that atmospheric frequency transmissions can and do have a repelling effect on air masses, especially if and when the air masses have been seeded with electrically conductive nanoparticles. The brighter the blue flash from a frequency transmission installation, the more pronounced and powerful the repelling effect on any air mass or storm in the vicinity will be. Where there are no blue flashes, there is no transmission, thus no repelling effect, thus no resistance for a migrating storm. Translation: a migrating storm will be hindered from moving toward frequency transmissions and will easily migrate in a direction with no transmissions. So again, I ask, was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just an act of nature, or was it engineered? You decide.
Link for you in the description box below and in my Substack, which will come out in a day or two, peggyhall.substack.com. Tomorrow, I'm going to bring you more coverage about the disaster. I will have a video for you also about my own personal experience in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and how devastating that is for all involved. My heart and prayers are going out to all of those who have experienced this devastation. I do have a couple of eyewitness accounts that I want to bring to you, a couple of emails, and in separate videos, I'm going to cover this lithium mining that is supposed to come online in 2025. And then something that I don't hear anybody talking about, I did post about it on my Instagram page, which is also the Healthy American Peggy Hall. And that is the fact that North Carolina doesn't want to have 15-minute cities. It wants to have 10-minute cities. And that governor in North Carolina is basically in bed with all of the WEFers. He is full on with the New World Disorder. That's too much to cover in this video. This video was to bring Dane on to talk about his insights and analysis from the geoengineering perspective. So rest assured that I will be doing additional coverage for you in upcoming videos. Thank you everybody for being on board. Let's dive in now and enjoy the interview with Dane Wigington of geoengineering.org. It's geoengineeringwatch.org. I have a friend, Peggy Hall, back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. You know my guest, Dane Wigington. He's from Geoengineering Watch, and he's been a guest on this show before. Wow, the comments were flying on our last get-together, Dane, where we weren't speaking about the events that were unfolding before our eyes. We were speaking about the spring and the skies in general, but welcome onto the show. We're going to talk about the extreme weather events and the damage and devastation in North Carolina and beyond. So welcome back.
Thank you, Peggy. Thank you for your continued attention toward what's happening in our skies. And our goal at Geoengineering Watch is to try to drive the point home that the threat posed by what's occurring in our skies is far more grave and far more immediate than almost any yet understand. And what we hope people begin to understand too, Peggy, is this, that it's interesting that they're from all sides of the political, orchestrated political divide, people are waving their banners for different sides of the same coin of power structure that's doing what they're doing in our skies, that's neck deep and always has been with manipulating conflicts around the globe. It's the same core. It's the people who print the money. That's all roads lead back to those who control the money. They control militaries, thus they control countries. And again, people need to sort that out and understand that that's ultimately who is behind climate engineering, because people sometimes point the finger at Bill Gates, for example, or some other individual. These programs were going on before those people were ever even born. So yes, they're diabolical people, but they're certainly not anywhere near the top of this power pyramid. So, and the stakes right now, Peggy, could not be higher. We're seeing ecosystems implode around the globe, fisheries, insects, crops, wildlife. We're perilously close to empty food shelves here in the U.S. as well.
Well, when we first came on, Dane, you were telling me that your internet is unstable. Yesterday, I couldn't get on my phone, and you're in Northern California, and you're saying you've got heat on par with Arizona right now?
Absolutely. In fact, we started, these are formerly lush forests of Northern California. I'm on the east side of Lake Shasta. We started October with temperatures in the hundreds, and nighttime, the sun goes down here, Peggy, and the temperatures don't. Now, that's what magnifies that type of heat with not nights not cooling off. Ionosphere heater induced high pressure domes. Again, this is, it makes a bad situation worse. And we stress that at Geoengineering Watch, we fully recognize that we've been very bad stewards of the planet. That's a whole nother subject we could take hours on. But this intentional manipulation of the planet's life support systems is making an already bad situation exponentially worse. And there's nothing benevolent about these programs. People are waking up to them. I've been communicating with congressmen in Carolina. I'm scheduled for a call this afternoon with about a dozen and a half congressmen on this issue. And we'll hope that carries out okay and we don't have a connection problem there. But yeah, the heat and UV is so bad here, back to your original question, that it is affecting transmission, strength, and consistency. And so it's not just the ambient temperature, the UV. That's very key for people to understand. The sun feels incredibly intense because it is. We are perilously close to functional collapse of the ozone layer. Climate intervention operations are the core causal factor, not hairspray cans.
Yeah.
military jets dumping 100-ton payloads in a single trip. And again, the frequency transmissions used to manipulate these particles, which is what happened in Helene, we can get into when you're ready. But this is an all-out assault on the planet's remaining life support systems.
Well, we are going to talk about this hurricane. And, you know, I just was making a few notes of the widespread destruction. Actually, I've got a couple of eyewitness individuals who texted me some photos and things. I'll be bringing that in a different video. But just considering the number of farms that were decimated, the crops, the infrastructure, the transport, the small businesses, of course, all of the individuals, the destruction is absolutely widespread. Going on 20, gosh, it was 19 years ago, almost to the day, I was in New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. I went there for animal rescue, and they would not allow any lay people to go in the very first few weeks for good reason, because really first responders are only the ones that are, it seems to me, in my experience, the most well-equipped to handle the devastation. I showed up on October 1st, which was exactly a month after the devastation, the flooding, which is similar to what we were hearing going on in North Carolina. And I'm telling you, I've still got PTSD and I didn't even have any losses. But witnessing that, the devastation, the widespread loss of life in terms of animals that were left behind. And there were either Marines or Army, I can't remember, or definitely we had the National Guard. The city of New Orleans was under a curfew, and we were only allowed in with escorts and so forth to do the animal rescue. And you know what, Dane, the military told me that this destruction and devastation was on par with what they had seen at that time. It was in Iraq, I believe. I don't know if I have all of my Middle Eastern wars correct, but they had been in the Mideast, and they said that these hurricane zones are like war zones. So my heart goes out to all of those that have been affected. We're going to take a look at the geoengineering, the weather. People are asking, are these storms steered into this area? I've done deep dives on this channel about the weather patterns and so forth, but let's just talk about what you saw in terms of your analysis, and the floor is yours.
Well, first, let me back up and your use of the term war zone. It is a war zone. That's exactly what it is. And what makes climate intervention the crown jewel weapon of the military industrial complex is because they can wage war on populations all over the globe, including their own. And again, we don't have any form of legitimate government. It's not about which political stripe. We have governments that control countries because those who print the money control those governments. And the bottom line is, with climate engineering, again, they can wage war against populations and blame it on nature. And that's exactly what they're doing. We can speculate about the various agendas and objectives, but the facts that storms like Helene are being steered is inarguable. We recorded with Helene the frequency transmission network, the NEXRAD network, that is absolutely used to steer large cyclonic rotations and precipitation patterns in general, because these transmissions have a repelling effect on the air mass that's saturated with electrically conductive particulates. And by that repelling effect, they can push that storm in certain directions, and they can de-energize. We recorded this. In fact, we recorded the whole path of Helene and the frequency transmission manipulation of it. And again, we can speculate on the agendas and objectives. That's a separate subject. But the fact that that storm was steered is inarguable. And as of about a half hour ago, our Instagram post of that with 200,000 plus views just got taken down. So wow. They don't want anybody to understand what's going on. And people are waking up. Again, the call I have this afternoon with representatives from Carolina and other states. And if we can reach a critical mass of awareness, we'll cause a shockwave around the globe. And I'm not implying our problems are over. As the power structure is backed into a corner, they will play very big cards. And we see the conflict happening this morning already. This is what I've stated for 15 years at Geoengineering Watch. At the point in time they can't hide the totality of biosphere collapse and the immediacy of the threat we face, they'll play bigger cards, pathogen release, global conflict. They hold all those cards. Same core of power.
You know, this brings us to the question people are always asking, well, what can we do about it? And I know that there is, I have experienced a wave of people waking up to this. There are people that never thought that this was something that could happen. They believed that it was just not man-made, but just natural weather events. But as you say, the evidence is so overwhelming and more people are waking up. I'd like to also get your take on what's going on in Tennessee with the legislation that was passed there. Do you think that's going to have any impact? Is that a step in the right direction, or is that just political theater?
Let me get to that question in a moment. I want to back up on the narrative. It's a great question. I'll answer that. But this narrative that still continues, that there's anything natural about what's happening with the earth changes right now. An example I've given before, I'll give it again now because it's clear. If you run someone over in a crosswalk and you beat them, stab them, shoot them, burn them, and you claim they died of a heart attack, natural causes, you're going to have a hard time making that argument in court. There's nothing natural about these earth changes. We've been abysmal stewards of the planet from countless directions, and that all needs to be considered. It's not a this or that equation, because many people try to make it a this or that equation as well. It's all the above. Every form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet is a part of the problem. But will you intentionally interfere with these systems for covert purposes of war, and you disable the planet's ability to respond to the damage done, now you have an immediate existential threat. And these elements used in climate engineering patents are highly toxic. They are ubiquitously contaminating the entire planet and all life forms. Primary elements listed in climate engineering patents and showing up in our tests all over the world is aluminum nanoparticles. Aluminum is toxic to all life forms, period, no exceptions. And this is bioavailable free-form aluminum. Because what we have, I even had the head of a lab in Northern California, Peggy. This is a state-certified lab. He tried to tell me, because aluminum's common in our strata, we should expect to see it in our rain. This is the head of a state-certified water testing lab. And essentially, the former owner of the lab knew climate engineering was going on. I was friends with him, and I'm not inferring anything. He died unexpectedly, and a new lab owner came in, and the new lab owner said to my face, you know, that we should expect aluminum, which is absolutely completely false. Aluminum doesn't exist in free form, has to be mined, refined, and dispersed to be in free form in our environment, and it is. Now we add barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants. For those that have seen foaming rain, it's because there's surfactants in the mix. Surfactants are what makes soap soap. They use it to keep the particles from coagulating, from sticking together. That's one of the purposes. And we have chemical ice nucleating elements. Peggy, you've seen these flash cool downs where literally we had snow here in California. So in the forests of Northern California in October, we're in the hundreds, and we had snow in August. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense when you consider chemical ice nucleation operations. And that's what only geoengineeringwatch.org is trying to disclose that. And we hope that changes, because that is a core aspect of climate engineering, their ability to chemically flash cool the surface with these endothermic, that's an energy absorbing reacting element. And people should think of their ice pack in their first aid kit that sits at room temperature for 20 years, and you mix those chemicals together, you have ice instantly. And that's the same process. It's an energy absorbing process. They're using that in their clouds, highly toxic as well. So they can create these engineered winters, just like we had the Snowmageddon here in California a couple of years ago, as you might remember, right? And during that, quote, Snowmageddon, we could hear the aircraft above the cloud canopy. It sounded like we were at the end of the LAX runway. And we don't live anywhere near a flight path. So, again, people don't understand the scope and scale of this. Back to Tennessee, to your question on Tennessee. The effort is symbolic, because there's no way of enforcing a DOD operation, Department of Defense, but it is important. It is very important, because it made international news. It's putting this issue on the radar, and people participating in these programs, including in our military, that are being told they're doing something benevolent, something for the common good, couldn't be further from the truth. And we need to wake them up to that fact. They're participating in their own self-extermination. So a bottom line is, aside from all this weather warfare and that toxicity, again, these aerosol dispersion programs can be used at any moment for much more lethal biological dispersions. We have elements in the mix that we know are used for biological warfare, polymer fibers and graphene. They're used for biological carrier platforms. Why would we think they wouldn't play that card?
Yeah, let's get back specifically to this hurricane, Dane, because I actually wasn't tracking it myself. There are people like you that are experts in understanding that. But can you explain it in simple terms, how a hurricane normally would behave? And what were some of the anomalies or red flags that you've analyzed and detected?
Okay, first, there are some online that claim that they're making the hurricanes. And we don't claim that at Geoengineering Watch. The oceans are superheating. The planet is capable of spawning hurricanes. That being said, the geoengineers can augment that possibility where they want by manipulating atmospheric pressure zones and thus convection. They can create the conditions that are more favorable for that storm to start. That being said, Peggy, you've heard likely a lot lately this term rapid intensification, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what we see them doing now, because these storms are extraordinarily powerful with an unfathomable amount of energy, they're hard to steer over the open ocean. So what we see is them being kept in a disorganized fashion until they're close enough to the land-based transmission networks to more effectively steer, which means the rapid intensification that happens at the end, an augmentation of atmospheric pressure zones when they're near enough to land to become manageable, and then they're allowed to intensify. So if we see an extreme example of this, Peggy, did you happen to see what happened to Acapulco last October?
Oh, it was horrible.
It was. For your listeners that haven't seen that, I would encourage them to search Acapulco, Hurricane Otis, look at the flybys. You have to see it to believe it. It looks like a post-apocalyptic scene from a sci-fi movie. They just got hit again, by the way, by another hurricane, gosh, Hurricane John. So that hurricane went from an insignificant tropical depression to the strongest Cat 5 hurricane to ever hit that part of the world in less than 24 hours. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And most Americans don't know that happened. And that's pretty staggering as well. So, this was a few months after Mexico really expressed their angst at any notion of climate engineering. Was this a shot across their bow? There's so much going on behind the scenes. And just like the climate conferences, what we really have happening there, nobody intends to change business as usual. It's all a facade. So what they do, Peggy, is behind closed doors, they are forcing countries to actively or passively participate in climate engineering. That's what those conferences are about. So it's just the degree to which the train is off the tracks can't be overstated.
So when this, Helene, then I'm just going to grab a couple of photos here. You know, it was it was on its way to the Gulf and what they call the Big Bend, the armpit of Florida. And my understanding is it went through pretty quickly. It didn't stay and hover like we've seen in some cases. And then, you know, made these turns right to North Carolina. What was strange about that? Was it the intensity? Was it the amount of rain? Was it the flooding? In your view, what was this, you know, perfect storm that resulted in all of this destruction?
You've seen the animation we captured of the steering of the storm, yeah. Correct?
All right, friends, we're actually going to listen and see the tracking that Dane did here. And remember, he's got a website, which is geoengineeringwatch.org. And then also the YouTube channel, Dane Wigington, and that's where I'm playing this. So it's a minute and a half. Let's listen.
Was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just the result of natural processes and climate patterns, or was it manipulated? The circular blue flashes seen in this video are frequency transmissions from the NEXRAD network of transmitter installations. All available science evidence makes clear that atmospheric frequency transmissions can and do have a repelling effect on air masses, especially if and when the air masses have been seeded with electrically conductive nanoparticles. The brighter the blue flash from a frequency transmission installation, the more pronounced and powerful the repelling effect on any air mass or storm in the vicinity will be. Where there are no blue flashes, there is no transmission, thus no repelling effect, thus no resistance for a migrating storm. Translation: a migrating storm will be hindered from moving toward frequency transmissions and will easily migrate in a direction with no transmissions. So again, I ask, was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just an act of nature, or was it engineered? You decide.
Okay, this is great. And I think everyone on my channel has seen this movie, The Dimming. It's available, geoengineeringwatch.org. If you haven't seen that, friends, view it, share it, learn about it. I think it is important, Dane, that we are getting critical mass of people becoming more aware of this. And certainly people in North Carolina now are going to be more aware of this. There also was concern because there is a lithium mine outside of Asheville, I believe, that just is going to be coming online on 2025. That's raised eyebrows for some people. I did a little digging, and the state of North Carolina is pushing, not for the 15-minute cities, they want 10-minute cities. So whether or not this is directly related, it certainly opens the path to reconstruction, more federal government intervention into the state. I know a lot of people right off the bat call for FEMA to show up immediately and let's get the federal government. And absolutely people need support and money and care and resources. But it seems to me that first and foremost, that needs to be a state issue and not to increase the intervention of the federal government. That's a little bit into the political realm, but I just wanted to put it there on the table. Anything else you'd like to add to the animation that we saw, or it's not the animation, but the video capture?
The recording. It's recording of the frequency transmissions. Yeah. And they kept that moisture corralled where it was. That's why you had almost 4 feet of rain. in parts of North Carolina. And also, it's not just the lithium. There's a type of crystal that comes from Carolina that's used in the tech world that is very unique. And that production has been wiped out as well. That really hasn't hit the airways yet. So it's and there's likely many agendas being carried out. We certainly recognize that. But what I would try to stress, Peggy, is that if we remain on this course, the equation is so nonlinear and the threats we face are so immediate that none of these agendas will reach fruition. None. We will face empty food shelves and Mad Max soon. We have about 36 countries right now following in the path of Haiti. And if those who don't know what's going on in Haiti, it's literally a failed state. And this is, again, about 36 more directly behind them. And that's dominoing right now. We have fisheries collapsing around the globe. We have crops collapsing. You can't grow anything here in Northern California. The soils are completely toxic, contaminated soil microbiome dead. Peggy, have you noticed every time the wind blows, trees are falling over everywhere? And
tragic.
It's the root systems are dying back. Just like the crowns are dying back, the root systems are dying back because of the toxic precipitation. And we know we have peer-reviewed study in the case of aluminum. It causes roots to shut down their nutrient uptake. So we have, in the case of crops, it's not just the contaminated soils. It's not just the lack of rain here in Northern California. We're about 6 months right now with no rain. 6 months of hellish heat and no rain. Every fir tree in this forest, and that's the predominant tree, is in some stage of decline or death right now. Most recent study of Western North America forests is called Firmageddon. I think that's a pretty clear statement as to the summary. So with the crops, you have an altering of atmospheric RH, also relative humidity, which gives you a condition called VPD, vapor pressure deficit. So that's why forests here, there's zero forest smell, nor has there been for a very long time, because the trees are not breathing. They're not respirating. They're not absorbing carbon. They're not releasing oxygen. Same is true with the crops. So between VPD, toxic soils, no rain, unbelievably intense UV radiation, including UVC, you can't grow anything here. And so, again, they're hiding that with stockpiles of certain staple grains and foods. And we're starting to see empty shelves already. And I would argue that the big variable is that the moment the power structure knows they can't hide the severity of what's unfolding and what they've done to populations without their knowledge or consent, they will play very big cards. And that may be starting already, you know, again, with the conflict zones and the excuse to perhaps have a limited nuclear exchange. And they're openly, to tie this all together, there's circles in Washington, Peggy, that are openly discussing the, quote, benefit of a limited nuclear exchange as a form of climate engineering to put enough particulate matter in the air to slow down the warming. Is that not the epitome of total insanity? And they've done this with the forests already. For your listeners, if they search wildfires serve geoengineering agenda, we found peer-reviewed study advocating for the intentional burning of forests to put enough particulate matter in the air to temporarily cool certain regions at the cost of ensuring that none of us have any chance for the long run. So if there is any nuclear exchange, it will strip away what little is left of Earth's ozone layer. Game over. We won't be able to grow anything. And it's a matter of time till we're out of food. If you can hide from the sun in your house for a while, that's not going to last long.
It's interesting about the sun, Dane, because so many viewers agree with me that, like, when we were kids, when I was a kid, the sun was yellow, not white, and you could play outside and it wasn't this intense white heat. There's, you know, the heat, the temperature, but then there's the intensity of the sun. And I certainly have noticed that change. And then
it's UV radiation. If I could clarify that.
Yes, please do.
The sun hasn't changed primarily. It's the lens through which it's shining.
Wow.
It's the atmosphere that has been altered and the refraction of the light. And that's why it looks white. And the destruction of the ozone layer. Our latest calculations, Peggy, is that there's somewhere in the range of 30% of the ozone layer remaining, not 30% gone, 30% remaining. We are very close to what's known as functional collapse of the ozone layer.
Yeah, and they took away the hairspray, just like they took away the straws, which really are going to help as well. The other thing you mentioned is that the smell of the forest, and I've noticed that even just grass and, you know, being outside, even the ocean doesn't smell the same. I find that really interesting. So I'm glad that you explained that. So friends that are listening, this is your time. Be prepared, be educated, be aware. Don't get into the spin cycle or be paralyzed by dread, but take action. More and more people are waking up to this. And some people are saying that they're seeing the skies not as heavily sprayed, but maybe they're doing it at night. Or do you think they ease off the gas pedal when a lot of public concern rises?
If I could back up, and then I'll answer that question on the what people perceive as clear skies. I just want to back up what you said about the oceans, because you're correct. You're completely correct. And when we have plankton populations crashing, and this is again linked to geoengineering, we've damaged the oceans and the plankton from countless directions, yes. But as we've destroyed the ozone layer, and now we have, again, extreme levels of UVB and UVC radiation hitting the sea surface, and UVC is the last spectrum before X-ray. So we can see how perilous this is. Plankton feed in the upper layers of the water column. They have to photosynthesize. They're being fried. Plankton populations down, based on peer-reviewed science study in the Atlantic, down 90%. 90% decline. That's the basis for life on Earth. Plankton emit substances into the atmosphere that contribute to that scent that you described that we're missing, and from every conceivable direction, and so many aspects that we can't even fully know. These atmospheric operations are literally ripping apart the entire web of life, contaminating all of us. And so for the areas where people don't see as much dispersion, likely under a high pressure heat dome, we do not see the very visible in your face lines. That does not mean that those resources aren't being used elsewhere. They are. And typically on those days, even in a high pressure heat dome, even if people see a short, bright trail that they think is condensation, it is not. In almost all cases, it is still a particulate dispersion. And you can typically, in those conditions, if you hold something up and block the sun, you'll see a halo around. You'll see the silvery white looking sky, indicative of particulate matter. And if you go outside on a very dark night with no light pollution in that type of setting where the atmosphere has a silvery white look, take the brightest light you can find, shine it up in the sky, and look straight up through that beam, you can't believe what you see. It looks like it's a blizzard. You can't see it in the daytime. So again, just because people don't see the very obvious grid pattern does not mean the dispersions aren't happening, because they are.
Yeah, that's a simple activity everybody can do to see for mm-hmm. themselves. I really appreciate you coming on, Dane. It was last minute. I said, I got to contact Dane, get his take on what's going on. So I'll leave the last word for you. What would you like our audience to know? Any action steps? Friends, there are tons of resources at Dane's website. So please go there, watch the dimming if you haven't seen it, share the information. And then what else can folks do, Dane?
If I could give two aspects to this, I realize our message at Geoengineering Watch, based on all available data, is very, very dire. And I would argue that as hard as that is to face, as bitter a pill as that is to swallow, if you're standing in the middle of the freeway at rush hour, you're much better off facing traffic than turning your back to it. So bottom line is, we need to face the fact that we are staring down near-term omnicide on planet Earth. And it's not just climate engineering. I'm not inferring that. If we can stop this, we'll have many other challenges to face, because we've painted ourselves into quite a dark corner. But we have to start with stopping and plugging this biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, this intentional toxic interventions being used as a weapon of war, including against government's own populations. Us, they're targeting agricultural regions, Peggy. We can see what's happening on radar, and these operations are occurring that are consistently decimating agricultural everything. So again, for those that think that someone in their government is going to save them, think again. It's up to us. We're the ones we've been waiting for. It's up to us. And that being said, people should never, ever underestimate the power they have in this equation. As the editor for The Dimming so thankfully built in the message from little excerpts he took from my broadcast to what I wanted to save the world, that any one of us can be the final pebble to trigger the landslide of awakening. And only with that awakening, and awakening doesn't just mean knowing, it means understanding that we are fighting for our lives and we all have a part to play in this. And if we could reach that point and push this issue to the full light of day, and those participating, including in our military, now understand what they're participating in, not what they've been told, not something good, not something benevolent, but something incredibly nefarious, then we have a chance of stopping these programs from the inside out. And we need everyone to help us start these spot fires of awareness, stoke those fires, share credible data from a credible source. And we do pass on our printed materials at geoengineeringwatch.org, less than our cost of producing and shipping. Our only goal, to get them into circulation. We're non-political. We don't advertise. My only goal in this life, whatever remains of it, is to see this insanity in our skies stop. So thank you for helping me to sound the alarm, Peggy. I so appreciate you. Thanks to your listeners. I promise I will stay at my post. I will never abandon it.
Thank you, Dane. That's actually a really encouraging point to end on. Friends, stay in community. My three solutions for basically any problem: connection, education, and action. So who can you connect with? So you came on this channel, friends, you wanted to learn more about this. Make connections in the chat, get with like-minded people. Number two is education. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org, get those materials, pass them on to lawmakers, just to friends and family, educate yourself. And that's hand in hand with number three, which is taking action. Share this video. It's free to do so. Put a comment, put a like, let people know about this. Another action is just to live each day fully, right? We want to make the most of every day. It's a gift of life. Be prepared in the best way that you can. And thanks again, Dane. I really appreciate it and look forward to having you on again. Stick with me just a moment. Friends, you know where to find me at the free Substack. That is peggyhall.substack.com. Dane, do you have a Substack as well? Or is the Geoengineering Watch .org and then your Instagram page the best locations?
Yes, geoengineeringwatch.org, and our YouTube channel is there, Dane Wigginton YouTube channel, but Geoengineering Watch is our main hub, Peggy.
Okay, perfect. Check that out, friends. Thanks for being on board, and I look forward to seeing you in an upcoming broadcast.